We begin the current daf Maseches Nedarim daf Mem Aleph. We begin on the bottom of daf Mem Amud Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing Agadic teachings regarding the halachas necessary for a person's well-being, his basic needs, and for when a person is ill, and for Bikur Chaylim. So the Gemara begins, Amar Ami Amar Rav. Says, what does it mean when it says the pasuk in Yecheskel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel Anavi, V'ata ben Adam, and now you, the son of man, make for yourself utensils of a person in exile, and go out into exile. What was he referencing, the symbolism over here? What type of utensils was he supposed to take for himself, which is someone that in exile needs those types of things? So zuner, it's a reference to a candle, to a lamp, uka'ara, and to a plate, a bowl, and we can see on top of memal v'meral, v'shotiach, and that is the animal hide, which this person spreads out, uses a spread to be able to eat on that. Those are things which are necessary for a person when he's wandering. That's what he should take, because that was symbolizing the impending exile of the Jewish people. Similarly, also regarding the basic needs which are necessary, so it says in Sefer Devarim, Perek Chof Ches Pasim Mem Ches, in the Klala of the curse, when the Jewish people will not follow the way of Hashem, so it says there in the beginning of the pasuk, "Vavatos Eivecha," that you're going to serve your enemy. Asher Yishalchena Hashem Bach, that Hashem will send against you, berav, uvitzam, uveirim, with hunger, with thirst, and with nakedness. Uvechaser Koil, and says with lacking of everything. So what is that a reference to? That's also from Omer of Ami Omer Rav. Says b'lei ner b'lei shulchan, you're not going to have the basics. You're missing everything. Again, means even you're not going to have even a lamp and a table to eat by. Rav Chisdam, he says, actually, this reference of lacking everything is a reference b'lo isha, without a wife. Rav Sheshi Samar, he says, b'lo shamash, without an attendant. Rav Nachman Amar, he says, b'lo ideya, he says, without understanding. And that's das, which is the internalization of the person's knowingness in his body of the knowledge that he has acquired. Tanya, in the Brisa, it's a reference to b'lo melech or b'lo revav, without salt and without oil. Now, Amar Abaye says, similarly like Rav Nachman, he says, Nektinon, we have a tradition, Ein ani ela b'deya. True poverty is only in lack of understanding. Similarly, b'marav Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said, D'dabe, someone that has this in him, meaning das, kulabe, then he really has everything. D'loidzabe mabe, but if he doesn't have das, then he doesn't have anything. And what does he have? D'alkani, similarly, if he has acquired das, Machasa, what is he lacking? Dalai Kani, Ma Kani. If he has not acquired Das, then what has he acquired? In other words, everything that he's acquired for himself, it's not going to help him if he doesn't have the ability of Das to be able to connect with that in who he is. Returning to the discussion that started this Agadah to Bikur Chaylim, the Gemara brings Amr Alexandri, Amr B'chia Barabbi says, Eina Chayla Oymid Michalye. An ill person does not get up from his sickness until all his sins are forgiven. Like it says the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Hashem, who forgives all your sins, and then heals all your illnesses. So therefore, if someone's getting healed, it's obviously that Hashem has forgiven his sins. Rav Nunam, he says, actually, that the person, after that he was ill and he got better, his body, his stamina, becomes stronger than it was from before, and it goes back to his youthful days. Again, going back to the same concept, because the person is forgiven and he becomes stronger than he was before. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Eiv, Rutafash Besare, which the Ran says it's actually a compound word of Rotav and Pash, which Rotav means like moist and smooth, and Pash is like expansive. So his skin, his flesh becomes young, minoyer, more than when he was a youth. Yashav le'me'alumov, it goes back to the days of when he was young. Again, that's what happens after a person gets healed. He actually goes back to how he was even younger. Similarly, a pasuk in Tehillim says, Kol mishkavoy hofachta b'chalye. All his whole bedding, you have turned upside down when he was ill. So Amar Yisvi says what that means to say is, Leimar de mishakech l'mud, it means to say that when a person becomes ill, he forgets all his learning. Now the Ran's Girsa actually has it going back on the pasuk we brought before of Chayz le'me'alumov, where the pasuk there says Yashuv le'me'alumov means to say, because it comes from the word of halama, of omission, of not being aware. So if you see from that previous pasuk, not like Rav Amnuna's drasha that you go back to your days of youth. It means to say that you go back with halama, meaning you forget you learn it. But the Mefarish brings, according to our Girsa, that it's going back on this pasuk, is that meaning the whole organization of his learning, which is like a well-made bed, gets turned upside down, meaning like a bed that gets ruined when he gets sick and it becomes chaotic. That means to say that he forgets his learning. Now, actually, the Gemara says that Rav Yosef himself was cholash. Rav Yosef just taught this learning that when you become ill, you forget your learning. He became ill. And the Akar Leilimude, he forgot his teachings. So Ahadre Abai Kameh, Abai, his student, went and reviewed it and returned all his learning to Rav Yosef. And Hainu de B'chol Duchta, I mean, this is what we say many times in Shas. Rav Yosef, says, Lo Shemi Li Hadash Maita, I didn't hear this teaching, I'm not aware of this. Amalei Abai, and Abai would tell him, At Amritan Alon, you actually taught it to us. Muhammad Snita Amritan Alon, and you actually had the support for this was from that and that Braisa. And that, again, is like what Yosef said, because he became ill, he forgot his learning. Similarly, Kiabagam Rebbe Tlas Esri Api Hilcha, so when Rebbe would learn his halacha that he was learning in 13 different approaches to that halacha, so Agmir Lubchia Shiva Menhain, he would teach Lubchia 7 of those versions. Now, Lasaif Cholish Rebbe, what happened was at the end, Rebbe ended up becoming ill and he forgot all his learning. Ahad Rebchia Kameh Hanu Shiva Api Dagmir. So Rav Chiya, who had learned only 7 out of the 13, he went and reviewed and returned those 7 to Rebbe's knowledge. But Shita Azdu, there were 6 that were lost. However, Havahu Katsu, there was a certain launderer, Havashmiya Leila Rebbe, he used to listen to Rebbe, he's cleaning what's going on in the house, and he used to hear Rebbe, could have a garza when Rebbe was learning. And he already knew this by heart because he heard Rebbe learning, and it was just got into his consciousness. So Az Rav Chiya, went to that launderer, V'gama Yasa and Kamekatsu, and he went and learned those other remaining 6 from that launderer. V'asa V'hada Yasa and Kame Rebbe, and then he went and returned the remaining 6 by Rebbe. Now, Kadav Chazilei Rebbe Lahu Katsu, when Rebbe saw that launderer, Amalei Rebbe, Rebbe would tell him, Ata Sisa Isi V'eschi, you made me and you made Chiya, because when someone teaches someone's learning, it's like he makes him, and therefore it's because of you that we know those remaining 6 versions of those halachas. Ikadam, those say a different version. Hachi Kamalei, this is what he told him. Ata Sisa Chiya, you made Chiya, because you taught it to him. V'chiya Asa Isi, and Chiya made me. Now, moreover, Amr Balgsandri Amr B'chiya Bar Abba says, Godl Nes Shanas L'chayla, greater is the miracle that it happens to an ill person. Yesimina Nes Shanas L'chanani Meshov Azar, greater than the miracle that happened to Chanani Meshov Azar that was saved from the fiery furnace. Now, why? Shal Chanani Meshov Azarya, Eshal Hedjit, it was just a fire of man. V'akol Yechayim L'chaboisa, everyone could put out and extinguish a fire made by man. But V'zu Shal Chayla Shal Shemayim, this was an illness that comes from heaven. Who could extinguish the fire of Hashem, which is what a sick person has in his elevated body temperature, and therefore a greater miracle happens actually to Chayla than being saved from the inferno, like Hananiah Meshul Bazarya. Another statement from Amr Balksandri, Amr Chibar Abba, Amrila, and some say it was Amr Shuban Levi, Kivin Shegiya Kitze Shal Adam. Once a person's end comes from this world where he has to pass on, Hakol Moishlim Bay, so everybody, even animals, rule over him and they could kill him. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, where Kain says, V'hoi kol moitzi argeinu, whoever's going to find me is going to kill me, because since I'm deserving of death, my end has come because I killed my brother. So therefore, any animal, everyone's going to kill me. Rav Amam in Hadain Kra. Rav says from a different Pasuk is the source in Tilim, where it says, L'mishpatecha amdu hayim, today they're standing for your judgment. And therefore, ki hakol abadecha, it's because everyone is your servant. In other words, since they're standing for your judgment, meaning their end is near to die, so therefore everyone, even the animals, are your servants now to execute your judgment. As the Gemara illustrates, that Rabbi Bar Shila, Amr Leh, they said to him, Shachiv gavra gavaya, a high man, meaning a tall person, havarachiv girdayna zutra, was riding a small female mule, and Mata Tisari, they told him that he reached a bridge, and Istavit, which literally means that the mule went crazy. And Shadi, it threw this tall person into the river, because Shachim, and he passed away. So Kari al-Nashi, so Rabbi Bar Shila said regarding this person, L'mishpatecha amdu hayim. That pasuk that we said before, when a person's time of judgment is, then everybody becomes Hashem's Avadim. Even the animal could kill the person, even though it was a small animal and a large person. So to Shmuel Chazilahu, and the Gir says Akrava, Shmuel saw a scorpion that was Yesiva al Akroiksa, that was sitting on a female frog, Va'avrinara, and it passed over the river, going over with the frog. And Tarka Gavramais, it got to the other side of the river, and it bit a person, and that person died. So Kari Alei, so he said regarding that, L'mishpatecha amda hayayim, that a person's time of judgment is, so then everyone serves in killing the person. And that is, as the Mefarish says, even more, is that because the scorpion couldn't cross the river, it had to go on the frog who helped it get across the river just to bite that person and to kill him, so everybody becomes Hashem's servants in executing Hashem's judgment. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, returning to the halachas of Bikur Chaylam, Eima Vakar Nesa Chaylam, you're not supposed to visit an ill person, Ela Lemisha Chalutzasacham, only for someone that's Chalutz, means like a warrior that's armed, he's called Chalutz, someone that's armed with fever, meaning that he has a sickness with fever. That's the type of person you visit. Now that thing about one is Lafuke Mai, what does it come to exclude? Obviously it doesn't mean only if you have a fever that then you have to visit such a person and not for other illnesses. So what are we coming to exclude when we're saying only like that type of an illness? So that Gemara says, La Fuka Hadar Tani, it's coming to exclude, meaning as Shmuel holds like the brisa that the Gemara is going to quote, that there are certain individuals that you do not visit, that those are the individuals that Shmuel is coming to exclude. As we learned in the brisa, Rabbi Yisi ben Parta Oyma Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Eima V'akrin, we do not visit Loi Choyle Ma'ayim, not someone with intestinal illness, Loi Choyle Ma'ayim, not someone with an eye illness, V'loi Mechushay Rosh, not from those who have headaches. Now, that thing we're wondering is, Bishle Mechile Me'ayim, we understand why you shouldn't visit someone with intestinal problems. Meshum Kisufa, of course, it's embarrassing, because many times he's going to have to go to the bathroom and relieve himself, and it's embarrassing when people are there. But El Chayla Ayin, Mechushay Rosh, Meitama, what's the reason why you shouldn't visit someone that has problems with his head or with his eye? So that the Gemara says, Meshum de Rabbi Huda, because of like Rabbi Huda said. Dibura Kashila Aina, talking is harsh for the eyes. And as the Rasha, so too for headaches, for migraines, because they come from the same source, same type of pathology. And therefore, you shouldn't visit because then he's going to feel compelled to talk and it's going to be harmful for his eye and for his head. However, umali le'ishta, but it's good for a fever. So those types of illnesses you visit, but somebody with eye problems, with headaches, or like we said, for intestinal problems, those are the people that you don't visit. Amar Rava, continue on this idea about fevers. Hai ishta, this fever, ilav de parvanka de malachi de moise, if not for the fact that it's the messenger of the Malach HaMavis, of the angel of death, that is, for the fact that it's the angels of death's messenger, if not for that, that fever had that quality, meaning that it's a bad thing, Mali actually would be very good, as we can see on Talmud Beis, Kechizru L'Dikli, as a tree has thorns around it, although thorns are not a great thing, but it protects it from animals and from wild animals, so that's actually how beneficial fever would be if it was chad l'tlasin yom, if it was once every 30 days, that's the same thing. It's good to have those thorns because it keeps away the bad things. Fever has certain qualities for the body, and it's v'chid teriyaki l'guf, it's like a merkachas, it's like a type of a medicine for the body. Fever is actually good, does something good for the body. Now, however, if Nachman Yitzchok, he says, lo hi v'lo teriyaki, he says, no, I don't want fever, and I don't want its merkachas, its medicine, I don't want that, because fever is obviously a dysregulation of the body. Amar Rabbi Yonasan Amar Bechiel, he says, Arsin yafu l'chelu l'refuaisla. Arsin is good for the ill person to heal him. So the Gemara asks, my arsin, what is arsin? So Amar Yonasan, he says, it's chushlo disari, says it's a peeled barley, that's atikta, that's old. Deresh naftya, that's from the beginning of the sifting of the sieve. Now, Amabaya, and Abaya qualifies, he says, but Bayin Bishula has to be cooked, Kain Bisru Datura, like the meat of an ox, which is, really requires a lot of heavy cooking, intense cooking, that's how you have to cook it, and that's going to be therapeutic for the ill person. Rabbi Yosef, he says, it's actually Smide Disari Atikta, it's fine old barley flour. Dereish nafir from the beginning of the sifting. And on that, Abaye, that's why Abaye qualifies that. Same thing, bain bishula, but it needs to be cooked. Kibis of the turi, like the meat of an ox. Omer b'yechad, and continue again on the halach zibik ha'chelem. Bar dam, which is actually a compound word, which is that it means bar dam, a pit of blood, which is a certain type of illness where a person flows blood from his lower cavity. So regarding such an illness, emavakr, and that he says that you don't visit such a person, and the reason being is because many times he's going to have to relieve himself and he's in a lot of pain because of all the blood that's flowing out from the bottom. And moreover, the emaskirin shemai, neither do you even mention to say that this person has the illness of bar dam, because it's not a clean, appropriate thing to say regarding such an illness. My time, so what's the reason? So Rabbi Elazar, he says, when they should combine hanavei, because he's like a flowing spring, it's not an appropriate thing to be talking about. And Rabbi Elazar says, lama nikrishmai bar dam, why is it called bar dam? And again, like we said before, should combine hanavei, because like a flowing spring, it's a bar, literally like a pit of blood that's coming out of the person. Now the Mishnah said, regarding a mader and a muder, someone that's, when there's a relationship between two people that he's not allowed to have anof from the other person, so he said, however, you're allowed to heal him a healing of the soul, but you're not allowed to heal him a healing of money. So the Gemara says, what does this mean in our Mishnah? What does it mean, the healing of the nefesh, and what is it that's permitted, and the healing of money, which is forbidden? So Elam, the Gemara says, if it means to say, the refuas nefesh, when it says that refuah of the nefesh is permitted, it means bechinam, for free. Where, as the Ran explains, the reason is because the word nefesh could also be interpreted as desirous, as willingness. As it says in the Pasuk, Mereshis, Im Yeshes Navshachem, if that's what you want. So in other words, when it would say that a refuas a nefesh, it would mean that if he's healing him out of his goodwill, meaning not for pay. So therefore, according to this assumption of the Gemara, the Mishnah would be talking about when it's the state of the ill person who's forbidden to give to the doctor, to the one who's healing him. So therefore, if he's healing him for free, what's called nefesh, meaning out of his goodwill, not for pay, so then he won't be giving anything to the doctor because he's not going to be paying him. So therefore, that would be permitted because he's not being mahana the doctor. And refuas mamon, what would it mean, healing of money? It would mean beschar, it would mean with pay. That would be forbidden because the chayla is not allowed to give anything to the doctor. The doctor is the mudr and the madr is the ill person. If that's what the Mishnah means to differentiate, but then listen, let it just say very simply, he could heal him for free, but not for pay. Why use this interesting enigmatic terminology of refuas nefesh and refuas mamon? So rather, the Gemara says, and as the Ran explains, obviously now we're reversing it. Now the way the Gemara is coming out is that it's that the nichsei roife are forbidden on the chayla, meaning the madr is the doctor and the mudr is the ill person, that the doctor can't give any hana to the sick person. But refuas nefesh, the healing of the nefesh that we're saying is permitted, that's a reference to gufay, that it is allowed to heal the sick person. The reason is because, as the Rashi explains, he's just doing a mitzvah. And although obviously the ill person is getting hana, but that's incidental, as we explained in the previous daf. When you're doing a mitzvah, it's not considered that you're being mahana the person, although obviously, incidentally, the person is getting hana. But refuas mamon, this that we said that monetary healing, which is forbidden, that's a reference to behemtoy. That's a reference to the ill to that person, to the mudr's animal, where there's no mitzvah that's being done, and you're giving him hana because you're healing his animal. So even if you're not getting paid for it, that doesn't make a difference because you're giving him a hana. Now, the opinion of the Ran, unlike other Rishonim, is that what we're talking about over here is that there is another doctor, a veterinarian, to heal that person's animal. Because if not, he actually says it would be permitted to heal that person who is forbidden, based on the nether, to have enough from you, to heal his animal. The reason being is because he based on the halacha and the Mishnah, the Aflam Gimel Manal, which says that machzor l'avodasa, you're allowed to return his lost object, because that's also a mitzvah, just like healing the person is permitted, although incidentally he's going to have anah. Here also, although he's going to have anah because his animal is being saved, but that's not what you're coming to do. You're coming to do the mitzvah of hashavas aveda, because there's no greater hashavas aveda than healing the animal that's going to die, and there's no one else to heal the animal. So rather, the Ran explains, it must be told about that there is another doctor, and therefore there's no hashavas aveda because someone else could do it, and you can't do it because you're going to be mahanem. However, in spite of that, the Mishnah is telling us that you could heal the person himself Although there is another doctor, and the reason being, as the Yerushalmi explains, because it's not from every doctor that a person has the opportunity of being healed. And therefore, the fact that there are other doctors doesn't mean anything, still doesn't result to get you exempted from the mitzvah of healing this person, and therefore you could heal him even though it's forbidden on a neder to give hanah to that person, because when you're healing him, that's incidental, that hanah, because the primary thing you're doing is the mitzvah of healing another person. Now, however, although you're not allowed to do what's called monetary healing, meaning to heal the animal, but Amar Bezutra Bar Tovia, Amar Rabbi says, but you could tell the owner, the mudda, the one who's forbidden to have enough from you, sam plaini yafla, just know that that medication is good for the animal, and sam plaini rala, but that medication is bad for the animal, because just saying words is not considered being mahana, that person who's forbidden to have enough from you. Now, and moreover is that since the mother is not giving the medication to that person who's the mudda, so it's permitted because, again, that's just an incidental anah, by telling him which one is good medicine, which one's not. Now, the Ran makes an inference from this halacha that obviously we see that, however, in contrast to the refuah haguf, healing the ill person himself, obviously means to say that you could actually put the medication into his hand, you could actually give him the medication, and even that is going to be permitted. However, he points out and qualifies this halacha that that's only if it's the mudar, that person, the ill person's own medication. But the doctor cannot take his own medication and give it to the mudder, to the ill person, even if the mudder doesn't have any of his own medication, where you're doing a mitzvah. However, since you're giving something which is yours to the mudder, that's going to be forbidden, as we learned the halacha previously in the Aflam Tesama Beis, where when there's someone's mudder hanah mechaveroi, where you can't give it straight to him, you would have to put it on the rock. And the problem is, because you can't give it from hand to hand. So therefore, although we're allowing you to heal him, and you could even give it to him, you could put it in his hand, but it can't be your own. It can't be the doctor's own medication, because that's giving something, and that's real hanah, and therefore that wouldn't be permitted. It would have to be the mudra's own medicine. However, the Ran makes one more qualification. He says, but if the reason why the ill person is forbidden to have hanah from the doctor is because he was both the mother and the mudder, meaning when the sick person said that I'm not having any hanah from that doctor, then he says possibly it would even be permitted to be the doctor's own medication. And the reason being, as we had taught in previous daf, what's called minchiyusi la'adre. An ill person doesn't make a neder forbidding someone else to give him hanah, or the other way of giving the doctor hanah, if it comes to his own chiyus, his own lifeblood, and here it's obviously coming regarding healing him, that was not included in the nether, and therefore actually the doctor would be able to even give the doctor's own medication to the ill person who had taken the nether against that doctor. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this halacha about a mother and a mudder, when two people are forbidden to have enough from each other. So what are the exceptions, and that it is permitted for them to do? So the Mishnah tells us, The mudder and the madder can bathe together in the same bath, in the same tub, in the same pool, if it's large. Now the reason is because since it's large, when one person goes in or moves around, that's not going to make the water move on to the other person, because it's large and they're not necessarily right next to each other, causing the water to be pushing on the other person. Avaloi b'katana, but they can't be together in a small tub, and the reason is because since it's small, so when they bathe together, when one person moves, he's causing the water to go on the other person, and thus giving pleasure to the other person, which is forbidden because of the neder. And v'yoshnim b'mita, he's allowed to sleep with him in the same bed. Now Rabbi Huda Omer, however, he qualifies this halacha b'tanakama, and he says that when the Tanakama says that you're allowed to sleep in the same bed, that's only b'maisachama. That's only in the summer months, where there's no pleasure about getting heat from the other person because it's too hot anyway. But in the winter months, you're not allowed to sleep together in the same bed. Because the other person is heating him up, and therefore mahanu, he's giving him pleasure, as the Pasuk says in Keheles, if two people sleep together, and it's warm for them, there's a certain warmth which is enjoyable, and therefore that's going to be forbidden for them to sleep together in the winter months. Now, however, he is allowed to just recline with him on the bed, which is at least in Talmudic times, they used to eat on these recliners. So even in the winter months, because just reclining together doesn't give the person the enjoyment of this warmth. And va'ichli moy al shulchan, he's allowed to eat together with him on the same table, and we don't make a decree that maybe he's going to eat from that other person, from the mother's food on the table. We're not concerned with that. Aval lo mina tamchoy. However, they cannot eat from the same large plate, which is that you give this large plate for two people. They can't be eating out of this group plate. And the reason being is because what happens is if one of them is going to eat less, that's going to leave more for the other person. Comes out that he's giving the other person more pieces by eating less, and he's giving them that hanoah, and therefore that's forbidden. However, he could eat together from this large serving plate that goes back to the homeowner. In other words, if the serving plate is so large that it's impossible for both of them to have eaten everything that's inside the plate anyway, and therefore the excess is chayzer, meaning it's going back to the balabayas. So in such a situation, no one's giving hanot to the other one by eating less, because there's enough for him to have had even if you ate a lot anyway. So that's not giving him hanot, and therefore it's such a plate, they would be able to, there's so much in there that they could eat together from that same plate. Now continuing the theme of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tanya, we're learning a braisa. Layirchitz imay bamvati, he's not allowed to bathe with him in the same tub. And v'layosh imay bamita, he's not allowed to sleep with him in the same bed. Ben gedayla, ben ketana, divrei meir. Meir doesn't differentiate. Says, you're never allowed to bathe in the same tub, and you're never allowed to sleep in the same bed, whether it's a big one or a small one. Rabbi Hudaimer, he argues, and he says, no. Gedayla, regarding a large bed, b'maysag shamim, in the winter, Uketana, and even the small one, in the summer, is going to be mutter, it's going to be permitted. Again, a large one, since they're far, they're not getting hanav warmth. And in the summer, even the small one, there's no enjoyment of having warmth in the summer. And moreover, he's also argues, and he says that you are allowed to bathe together if it's a large tub. So therefore, what Rabbi Huda is arguing on both ideas, and that is Rabbi Meir had made gezeris regarding a large tub, and that is, although there's no pleasure because the water is not going to flow onto the other one because they're so far, but because of a small tub, which would be pleasure, he was geyser that you're not letting him bathe together, even a large tub. And moreover, he made a gezera by a bed. And whether they're large or small, it's going to be usser, even in the summer months, because he was concerned about a small bed for the winter, which would give them pleasure. Whereas Rabbi Huda argues on both of them. First of all, a large bed, even in the winter, is permitted. That we don't make exerah that you might come to use a small bed, which is pleasurable in the winter. And moreover, a small bed, that although you're right in the winter, that is forbidden, but in the summer months it's going to be permitted, and that's because Rabbi Huda does not make exerah because of allowing it in the summer that you might come to use it in the winter. Now, actually, from this opinion of Rabbi Huda, the Ran illustrates that it must be that when Rabbi Huda says in the Mishnah that it's only in the summer that it's permitted, but not in the winter, that must be, as we had explained in the Mishnah, that it's explaining what the Tanakhama said in the Reisha, that v'yashnim b'mita, that you let us sleep with him together in the bed, and that it was all, the whole Mishnah is really Rabbi Huda, and he's qualifying what was said, and the reason being is, because if it would be a machlegis Tanakhama and Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah, well then when the Mishnah says anonymously in the Mishnah, v'yashnim b'mita, that he can sleep with him in the bed, who would it be going like? It wouldn't be like Rabbi Meir, who says all beds are forbidden, and wouldn't be like Rabbi Huda, who only qualifies certain beds are permitted. So rather, the Ran says, is like we explained in the Mishnah, that there's no opinion that says you're always allowed to sleep together in the bed, because there is going to be a pleasure in the small bed in the winter. Rather, it's Rabbi Huda qualifying that halacha of Yashnim Bemita, that it's only in certain situations. Now, moreover, the Braisa says, Zumaziyah Mebekitani, he's allowed to go into Shvitz with him, he's allowed to go in the they sit together in the hot room and they sweat. That's permitted because there's no pleasure about, even though it's a small room, there's no pleasure being together with the mother in the same shvitz. Now the Mishnah said, "Avam meisiv imay alamita." However, he is allowed to recline with him on the same bed, and va'ochli imay ala shulchan, he's allowed to eat on the same table. Avaloy min atamchoy, as we said, he's not allowed to eat from the same large plate, and because we're concerned that maybe he's going to eat less because of the honor of his friend, and it comes out by eating less because he wants him to have more, he's giving him pleasure. But we said he's allowed to eat from the plate that goes back. And of that, the Gemara says, what does that mean? It's from the plate that goes back to the homeowner. In other words, that there's so much there in the plate that the excess goes back to the homeowner, and therefore, again, even if he's going to eat less, that's not going to be giving the other person pleasure because he's going to have more anyway, and therefore, that's going to be permitted for the mada and the muda to eat from that same tamchur. Now, the next mishnah continues on this theme that lo yoichel imoy min ha'evus shelifne ha'poilim. If the mother and the mudder are, let's say, both workers, they're not allowed to eat from the same trough that is put out for all the workers, which was this large plate, or this large serving plate that all the workers would eat from. The reason being is because since they're working, they eat a lot. And this word avus, although it means trough, it also it's from the word of avsin, which is avsin oisik behemis, meaning that they like stuff them, which is what they would do to certain animals. They would open up their mouth and just stuff the food down. So the same thing was actually what would be with workers. They needed to just have energy, so they would just stuff all the food down. So that's why it's called this avos. So they're not allowed to eat these. If there's a mother and a mudder, they can't be eating from this same one. And the reason being is because if one of them eats less, comes that he's giving pleasure to his friend. And the reason being is because since workers, they never leave over anything from the serving plate to give back to the homeowner. That's why we didn't mention here in the Mishnah, like we did in the previous halacha of Tamchoy, that they can't eat from the same plate, because by you eating less, he's having more. They didn't say about Eivus HaChayzer, because there's never any food left over from these workers, because they eat up everything, and therefore it's always going to be Asr for the Madr and the Mudr to be eating from the same one, because one might eat less, thus giving the other one more. Moreover, V'layasi imay ba'ayman. The mother and the mudder cannot be working on the same row in the vineyard. If they're working in the vineyard, and the reason being why he can't work with them on the same row is because when he plows in front of him the land, if he's right next to the other person, he's giving pleasure to possibly the mudder. And the reason being is because since he's softening his land by working right next to his, that's making his work easier. Now, Reb Meir actually says that it's, and that's because that's the Pinyar Mishnah, Dibri Meir, he holds that it's always forbidden on the same row, even if you're very far from the other worker. Because as the Gemara will explain, he makes a decree of when it's far, because you might come to do it when you're close by. But V'chachamayim, they say, no, Isa b'hu b'rachik mimenu. You could work on the same row, as long as you're very far, because again, they don't have this gezerah of when you work far, that you might come to do it when you're close by, which would be giving the other person hanah. As the Gemara explains, Bikarav lay pliga de aser. When they're nearby in the same row, nobody argues that of course it's going to be forbidden because you're giving the other person, the other worker, pleasure because you're softening his earth when you're digging right next to him. And therefore now the other worker doesn't have to work so hard to dig in his part of the vineyard. So there even the Chacham would agree that it's aser. Ki pligi berachig, when do they argue? When you're far away on the same row. So since you're very far away, you're not softening his land when you're digging, even though it's on the same row. But Remeir holds that we make a decree of when it's far, because when it's close, the kamarapi leila arakame. Because if we might let you do it when it's far, you might come do it when it's close. And when it's close, then you are softening the land of the guy who's working right next to you, which is a problem about giving hanot. But Rabbanan Sabri Lagazir and Banhol, we don't make such a gzera, and therefore, although close is forbidden, but Rochik is going to be permitted.